And this morning, I just want to take a few more minutes to look at one of the greatest blessings that we have because of the resurrection. That's really a life-changing thing for those who follow Jesus. It's something that was demonstrated in that story of the prince's poison cup. You may have noticed that the people in the story had hard hearts, hearts that were cold toward the King of Life. They were closed off to him and really wanted nothing to do with him, and they were actually terrified of him when he was near them. And so, really, without knowing it, their lives were very bleak. They were functioning, but they weren't really living. But then something changed, you saw. Something changed when the prince rose from the dead. When the King of Life touched him and he came back to life, something began to happen to the people. Their cold, hard hearts started to become soft and warm again. And instead of being terrified of the King of Life, they became curious and they wanted to know him. They were drawn to him. And when they came to the prince and then drank the pure water from the prince's golden cup, they were filled with love and gratitude, and they praised the king for healing them from their disobedience. It was in those things that they came alive, and you could see that in the story. And one of the greatest blessings of the resurrection of Christ is that not only did Jesus come alive, but he also opened the way for each one of us to come alive. And today I want to talk a little bit about how that happens and what it means and how we can experience that in our own lives. Because whether you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time or whether you've never made that decision to follow Jesus Christ, there's a life that can be had that is only in Jesus and because of his resurrection. And so just as much as if you've never heard the good news of Jesus before, we need that, each one of us. I want you to turn with me, if you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to Romans chapter 6. We're going to read a few verses, and I'm going to make a few comments about them. Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 11 is what we're going to study this morning, and I want to start by reading verses 5 through 7. It'll also be up here on the screen. Here is what the Apostle Paul wrote this, and I want to read these first few verses. He says this, "For if we have been united with him, with Christ, in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin." So if you look at verse 5, Paul talks about this spiritual union that God brings about when a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ. When we turn to Jesus, God unites us together with Christ, and he binds us together with him in an inseparable spiritual bond so that he no longer sees us as separate from Jesus. He sees us as one with him. God has given us a picture in this life of that, which is actually marriage. The husband and wife, two becoming one, is the picture, the symbol in our lives of that God's given us to show what happens when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. The two become one. Christ and the believer become one in salvation. It's a spiritual union that God creates and gives as a gift to every believer. And Paul writes about two parts of that union in these verses. The first is that the believer is united with Christ in his death. And I think a lot of us as Christians, we understand those things pretty well. Paul explains it a little bit in these verses. Ever since the first man sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, something changed in us, and there's a lot of parallels in the story that we watched. Something changed in us and hardened us toward God. And since that time, humans have turned away from God in sin. So rather than seeking him and delighting in him, which he created us for and which he wants us for, we have turned away from him and turned to our own way. We do what pleases us without regard to what God wants. And in so doing, our hearts become hard, they become cold toward God. We don't want to have anything to do with Him. We didn't want Him, we didn't love Him, we didn't see Him for who He really is, the King of life. That's our old self, and that's the old self that was displayed by the people in the city of man. That's the self that Jesus came to set us free from. He came to set us free from that when He died on the cross. Paul says that because we're united with Christ, God considers our old self to have been crucified with Jesus when He died on the cross. That's what happens when we're united to Christ through faith. When we put our faith in Him, our sinful self died with Him on the cross, and it's gone. Just as Jesus died on the cross and was buried, our sinful old self was put to death and was buried. And it's been brought to nothing, Paul says. It no longer has power in our lives to keep us in bondage to death and condemnation. Because we have died with Christ, we're no longer enslaved to sin. Paul writes in another letter that he writes in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. My old self, who I was, is dead. It's been crucified with Christ. And our sins, because of that, have been totally forgiven. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have our sins been removed from us. And that's because through faith we're united with Christ in His death. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, for our sake God made Him to be sin. He made Jesus to be sin when He was on the cross, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So there's no longer any barrier between us and God. Nothing between us that would keep us from Him. All the curses of our old self that would keep us from God are done away with because of being united with Jesus Christ. And that's one of the ways that we're united with Christ that Paul points out in these verses. But there's another way. We're also united with Christ in His resurrection. And Paul explains what that means for us in the next few verses. So you'll see up on the screen here, verses 8 through 11. Let's read those. Paul says this, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And so not only has our old self died with Christ, but in its place, we have been given a new life in Him. If we died with Him, Paul says, we also live with Him. And Paul points out in these verses that on the cross, Christ fully accomplished everything that was needed to conquer sin for every believer for all time. And therefore, Jesus will never die again. And with that resurrection life, that everlasting life that He is now living, He lives to God, Paul says in verse 10. The life that He now lives, He lives to God. So I want you to picture Jesus in the life, His resurrection life that He's living to God. Paul doesn't give us any details in this passage, but in several other passages in the New Testament, we read that when Jesus rose from the dead, He ascended to heaven and He was exalted to the highest place of honor and privilege and glory and blessing. He was seated at the right hand of God on high, and in that position, He enjoys every privilege, every blessing. He has perfect fellowship with the Father, perfect love, perfect harmony, a perfect relationship with God the Father. The life He lives, Paul says, He lives to God. That's Christ's resurrection life right now. But it's not only Christ that enjoys the resurrection life, and this is the key to celebration on Easter Sunday. Not only does Christ enjoy the privileges of living that resurrection life, what Paul's pointing out in these verses is that because we've been united with Christ, not only in his death, but in his resurrection, and because we now live with him, we too have become partakers with him of this resurrection life. Paul says in verse 11, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." And I want you to pay special attention to that little phrase, alive to God. If you've been a believer for 50 years, you might miss this. We are alive to God. There's a different kind of life that God has for us because we're united with Christ in his resurrection. And I'm afraid that a lot of times believers miss out on that life because we live like we're still dead. But we have been made alive to God in Jesus Christ. The way for us to experience Christ's resurrection life as he is seated with God the Father on high, we have that same life. In the story that we just saw before the sermon, it helps us to see what that means. When the prince, you remember when the prince drank the poison out of the cup and he died, and when the king of life touched him and he came back to life again, the people in the city of man were set free from that hardness, the coldness of their hearts. They were set free. Something began to change. Okay, they were set free from that, but it's not all that happened. When the king brought the prince back to life again, something amazing started to happen in the people. Those cold, hard hearts became warm and soft again. And so instead of being terrified of the king, they were drawn to him. They wanted to know him. They were curious. And when they drank the pure water then from the prince's golden cup, they were filled with praise and gratitude. No longer fear and no longer anger toward the king of life, but gratitude and praise, and they praised the prince and king with joy in their hearts. They became alive, and that's a picture of what God has for you if you will follow Jesus Christ. And it's a very real life. Like, it's not just some kind of theological thing. Like I don't know how to explain it very well, but there's a spiritual thing that happens where when you turn to Jesus Christ and you're filled with his spirit, you're given a new life. Okay, there's life that wells up from deep within your heart. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he gave him life that was to be shared with everyone who would follow Jesus and put their faith in him. It is through faith that we're united with Christ, and because of that, not only have we died to sin, but we have been made alive to God. Okay, alive to God. Romans 6:4 says, "We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Like, that's what God wants for us, that we would walk in newness of life. Christ gives us that newness of life through the Holy Spirit that he has given to us. When he ascended to heaven, he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, like pure water from the golden cup. Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11 says, "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you," which he does, "he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." That's how it happens. That's what God wants for us who are followers of his. And so if you picture the resurrected Christ exalted to the highest place of honor and privilege and blessing and glory, seated at the right hand of God, there's places that say that we too are seated with him in the heavenly places. He's honored, he's glorified, he's loved, he's delighted in. He is alive to God to the uttermost. And now picture yourself united with Christ in his resurrection, and he is pouring his resurrection life into you. He's the vine, we are the branches. Okay, you remember that from John 15? He's the vine, we're the branches. His life-giving life, his life-giving spirit is flowing into us. You've been given the Spirit of God inside of you, and you are alive to God, and he wants you to experience that. He wants you to experience his life. Your heart, when you put your faith in Jesus, your heart is awakened. Okay? You may remember in your own life, if you've been a follower of Jesus, that something changed. I remember in me when I was 14 years old, that something changed in me. Like, I knew about Jesus before that, but when I was 14, something changed, and all of a sudden, I was drawn to God. Like, it didn't come from me. It came from something inside of me, which God put there, which was his Spirit, when he united me with Christ and put his Spirit in me. We have been awakened through faith in Jesus. We're drawn to God to love and adore him. We're able to commune with him in prayer, to experience his delight, to be his beloved son or daughter. That's the wonder of being made alive to God. And that's the awesome blessing that's ours because of the resurrection of Christ. On Friday, we remembered the crucifixion of Christ, and we remembered all that that accomplished for us, that through his death, he paid the penalty for our sins. But what about the resurrection? What did he accomplish for us in the resurrection? He accomplished life for us. And he is living today, seated at the right hand of God, giving life to all who follow him, to whom he's given his Spirit. And so as we celebrate Easter, we also celebrate our new life in Christ. And I invite you to drink deep. Okay? Drink deep. Don't get distracted by everything else going on in this world, in our lives. We need to go to the fountain to drink deep of Christ, to drink deep of the Holy Spirit, to go to him, to enjoy intimacy with him, to experience God's favor and his love. That's what he wants for you. And if you've never come to Jesus before, if you've never experienced this new life that we've been talking about this morning, but you've kind of kept him at arm's length, like the people in the video, your heart has been hardened toward him, you've resisted, you've held him off out of fear because you thought maybe he was just scary and was angry at you. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to come. He invites you to come and put your faith in Jesus. He did everything to make the way clear for you to come to him and experience life in him. And so put your faith in him. Receive forgiveness for sin. Receive new life. Receive his love and receive his life. He wants to give that life to you, and fullness of life only comes from him. Drink deep of the fountain of life that comes from knowing and abiding in Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, we praise you, our risen Lord and Savior, who today isn't in a grave somewhere over in Israel, but who today is seated at the right hand of God. But you didn't just keep your resurrection life to yourself. You have given us life by the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. And I pray for those of us who are believers this morning and following you, that you would help us to experience that life in you. And if there's anyone here this morning that has been holding you at arm's length, I pray that you would reveal your goodness and your love and your mercy to them, that they would turn to you for life, turn to you for fullness of life. Thank you, Jesus, for your death and your resurrection. In your precious name we pray. Amen.